seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I direct you to Psalm 25 and the 5th verse. Psalm 25 and verse 5. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. The 25th Psalm and verse 5. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Understand, beloved friends, that this psalm is the first psalm where the dear psalmist David used in order every letter from the Hebrew alphabet. And each verse, the first word begins with the word from that alphabet in all in order. Secondly, the dear psalmist was describing the path that he was walking in at this time. Dear David was walking in, as we read in the psalm, affliction. He was walking in persecution. He was walking in trouble. We find, taking the first, he says, look upon mine affliction and my pain, and forgive all my sins. And the enemies that troubled him, it was widely believed that it was from the people of the land, and particularly from Absalom. He says, consider mine enemies, for they are many, and they hate me with cruel hatred. And then he speaks of the troubles. He says, the troubles of my heart are enlarged. O bring thou me out of my distresses. So what he was walking in was not easy. And we are told in the Word of God that the path to heaven will never be easy. We read, don't we, in the Acts of the Apostles, that it is through much tribulation that we must enter the kingdom of God. It's not going round it or getting under it or going over it, is going through it. And then, too, there's this point. David was one of God's choice children. We read in the Word of God that the Lord said concerning him, there is none like unto my servant David. And because he was one of the Lord's choice children, he had to walk, and so were we if we were among them, in the path, in measure, which the Saviour, the Lord Jesus himself, walked. He knew much of those three things that I've named concerning David in this psalm. The dear Saviour knew much affliction, we often endure it, don't we, because of our sin. But he was afflicted in all points, just as we are, yet without sin. Secondly, he knew much of the persecution that David knew and God's dear people know from Satan and all his agents. And when we think of the solemn day in which we live, and all that has taken place even in the last few days, we see Satan in great power, going about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And you think in the days of the Lord Jesus, and how he endured such opposition from Satan and from all the hellish crew. But then we think of the troubles of the dear Redeemer. You think, was it not in the Garden of Gethsemane when he said, "Now is my soul troubled"? And I thought much this morning of Psalm 22, where David, and you can read at your leisure, was led into those sufferings of his dear Redeemer, the troubles that he endured. There's a beautiful couplet, isn't there, in one of the hymns, where the hymn writer said, and it was the Lord speaking, "Did ever trouble yet befall, and God refuse to hear thy call?" And has he not his promise passed that thou shalt overcome at last? But I want us help to come to this text. We find in it two very beautiful desires. And these were not the desires that David had in his own carnal mind or in his flesh. They were the desires given to him by the Lord. You may say, "Oh, but I have such feeble desires." But what does the hymn writer say about that? Those feeble desires, those wishes so weak, 'tis Jesus inspires and bids us still seek. Now look in your heart and in mine this morning. Are these desires what David had here in your heart and mine? You know, these two desires have rested upon me in the last few weeks so much. Lead me in thy truth. That's the first desire in the text. The second, and teach me. And I believe as soon as God begins to work in every one of his dear children, he puts his grace, his fear. They're born of the Holy Spirit. And one of the evidences of being born of the Holy Spirit is this: these real desires. If you want a comparison, you compare the desires that are couched in our text and in the Word of God compared with the desires of the world. We don't find these desires in man by nature, do we? The unconverted sinner never desires to be led into the truth. But it's the desire of a real child of God. And I'll go as far as to say this. It'll be our daily prayer. Lead me in thy truth. What was the truth that David desired to be led into? That truth was a precious Christ. Jesus said, didn't he, while here upon the earth, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And that's what the Lord will be to your soul and mine. Here be the way. There's no other way to heaven. And then he's the truth. And all truth flows through him. You see, what is so precious about God's dear word and precious word is its truth from beginning to end. There are so many things that man may write or man may say that are not truth. But you know, everything that the Saviour did while here upon this earth, and everything, the wonders that he wrought, were all done in truth. Truth was in them from beginning to end. And in the new birth, you know, God makes his dear children to come to this. So all they want is truth. Nothing else will do. And that truth flows from the dear Redeemer. So David says, lead me in thy truth. Now let's look at it in one or two ways. And put it simply. First of all, lead me in thy truth, the truth of thy word. You know, we have some wonderful promises, don't we? In God's holy word. And those promises are left for the encouragement and help of God's dear people. And you may read, and you young ones may read some of the precious promises, and you may say in your heart, Lord, but may I have these truths? But you've got to be led into them, you see. David was. And as you're led into them, it may be in difficult circumstances. It may be the Lord brings affliction upon you, or brings some trouble, or brings such distress in your soul. And you have to cry unto him, and he leads you into those precious promises. You see, it's a mark of sonship, being led by the Lord. It's a mark of grace. What does the apostle say in writing to the Romans? For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And there's so many ways, you know, we could look at this leading, but I want to just tarry a moment on lead me in thy truth. The truths couched in God's holy word. And to value those truths. Because they'll be so real to you. Their life and power. But let us go further. In being led into the truth, it's being led to a precious Jesus. I told you before that just before I joined the church in 1963, I should never forget how, as I read God's holy word, you know, in secret, or it's read in the house of God, the word seemed full of Christ. It didn't matter where I read, in the Old Testament, in the New, it shone forth the beauties there were in Christ and the beauties of those precious words. And all to be led into, but led to the dear Redeemer. He's the truth you desire. And why do you want to be led to him? Because it's in him there's everything you need. Think of what the psalmist said, was it not Psalm 61, where he says, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. And what a mercy when we are brought into soul trouble or troubles of circumstance or troubles in the family. The Lord uses them to lead us to Christ, to him who is the way, the truth and the life. And just stepping back to that, you see, he is thy life. For me to live, the apostle says, is Christ, and to die is gain. The life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And what did dear Job say? Thou gavest me life. And you see, that life flows from the dear Redeemer. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And to be led to the Lord Jesus. And why you want to be led to him? Because you can leave everything at his dear feet. You can cast all your cares upon him. You can tell him everything about your sins that trouble you, the trials you have, the inward conflict, the warfare that goes on within you. And he understands, you see, he understands a sigh divine and marks a secret groan. Lead me. You see, it's personal. David, with all the teaching and divine help and guidance and the Lord being with him, he still desired. And so will you, and so will I, if we're real. Lead me in thy truth. It's a solemn thing, you know. There are those things that lead us away from the truth. Satan has soon led us away. Our old nature, our carnal mind, the worldliness that creeps in us, it leads us away from the Lord when we need those things to lead us to him. Lead me in thy truth. You see, David knew ever so much of his own heart and how prone he was to wander and how prone he was to leave the God he loved. There were so many things that were to draw him away from the truth as it is in Jesus. And so he pleads, lead me in thy truth. You know, if you look in the Psalms, there's so many records in the book of the Psalms. It's a very sacred book, you know, that speak of the Lord leading his dear people and the desires to be led. Lead me in thy truth. And then let us look at it in a few ways concerning this. Lead me. Is it your prayer this morning? Maybe in things of providence. You need the Lord to lead you in them. You think of Abraham's servant when he went to seek a wife for Isaac. What does he say? I being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. The Lord led me. He didn't go himself, did he? It's a wonderful thing when you can feel the Lord leading you, directing you in the way you should go. And the dear servant, you know, of Abraham, he knew what it was to need the Lord's leading, and he begged for that leading, and the Lord gave it to him, didn't he? And you see, when the Lord leads us, he leads us aright. And you think of the children of Israel going to Psalm 107. And he led them forth by the right way. You know, the Lord never makes a mistake when he leads his dear people. We make ever so many. And when we're led by ourselves or our carnal minds, we soon are led astray, aren't we? It may be you're seeking the Lord to lead you regarding a husband or a wife, or leading you in a step in providence, making a way for you. May the great concern within you to be led lead you to the Lord, to spread it all before him. But then we need to be led to pray, don't we? Oh, we do. What to ask for? May we not be left, you know, to just utter words, but be led in prayer by the Holy Spirit. You see, the Lord sends his blessed Holy Spirit to lead his dear children. What does the hymn writer say? He led me on fair Zion's road, while weary, weak and faint, he led me. And oh, this leading, it's so important, isn't it? And then, of course, let us go deeper. He alone can lead us into his suffering, into his death. You know, it's a wonderful thing when the Holy Spirit leads us by faith to Gethsemane, or leads us by faith to Calvary. And when he leads us there, you know, and so often it's in a path, if I know anything about it at all, when we walk the little of the sufferings of the dear Saviour. And there are many ways, you know, the Lord brings suffering upon his dear people. It may be suffering in their souls because of their sin, and they long to be led to view the dear Saviour suffering, bleeding, dying for them. And oh, to be led to hear those groans and sighs of the dear Redeemer in the Garden of Gethsemane. And oh, to be led to the foot of the cross. And how happy your soul would be, wouldn't it, as he leads you there for the Lord to say, it is finished. I have put away all thy sins. They're all gone. You look for them, you cannot find them. But oh, to be led to view those pierced hands of the dear Redeemer and pierced side. The great cost of our salvation, his own heart's blood. You know, it's a very humbling place to be led by faith to the Garden of Gethsemane and to the foot of the cross. We read, they shall look on him whom they have pierced, and mourn for him. They shall look on him. And the only way, poor sinner, you can is by faith. whom thou hast pierced. We sing in the hymn, don't we? The soldiers pierced his side, 'tis true, but we have pierced him through and through. And that'll cause you some tears of heart, poor soul. Oh, it will. But is this question in your poor soul as you're being led into his truth? Lead me in thy truth. This question within your heart, was it for crimes that I have done? He suffered, bled and died. Was it for crimes? This question will well within the sinner's heart, you see. And only the Lord can settle that question. And as he leads you to view all that he has accomplished at Calvary, and oh, to have a glimpse. I love that couplet of the hymn where the hymn writer said, had I a glance of thee, my God, just to have a little glimpse, you know, that'd melt the hardest marble of your poor heart and mine. Oh, it would. You think what we are by nature, hard, rebellious. You know, the Lord knows how to soften us. You think of what dear Job said. For God maketh my heart soft. And it's a good place, you know. And may we know more and more of it. That true softness of heart. And you know, when he leads us, he will soften us. He'll make us willing to be led, you see. Lead me in thy truth. We read in Psalm 110, don't we? Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. Lead me then in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. But, oh, to be led to in the truth of his ways, his commandments, his statutes, his testimony. Lead me. You see, the shepherd in the east always goes before his sheep. He never drives them. He draws them, you see. He goes before them, leading them. And think of that beautiful word in the 23rd Psalm, and David could write it from experience, couldn't he? Of how the Lord wonderfully leads him as the good shepherd. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And oh, how the Lord led him into those green pastures, didn't he? And beside the still waters. But oh, to be led in the sacred ordinances of his house, his sweet commandments. Wonderful place, you know, when the Lord leads us. And as he leads us, you see, he'll make himself more and more precious to us, the one thing that is needful. And we know the truth of that then. You think of what Jesus said to dear Mary or said it concerning Mary to Martha. Martha and I so often feel I'm like her, and some of you may. We're so often careful and troubled about many things, aren't we? And there may be those this morning were, you know, careful and troubled about many things. But what did Jesus say? But one thing is needful. And you know, really, the further we go on in the journey, we feel it more and more. And may a precious Jesus be to each one of us here the one thing that's needful. We know we have many needful things in this earth, and needful things. We need our food, we need our clothing, we need our homes. But you know, eternity's before us each. And what a solemn thing if all we have are needful things of time. But what a blessed thing to have those needful things of eternity. We need to be found in a precious Jesus, don't we? We need to know his precious blood and the need of it in our souls that can cleanse us from all sin. Oh, to be led to view that sweet fountain of that precious blood of Jesus, which cleanseth from all sin. The devil may say, ah, but there's this sin and that sin that blood will never cleanse you from. But poor soul, you can face Satan and say, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. He can remove every stain. That's been very precious to me, you know. Not only the sin, but the stains of sin. It can remove them all. Oh, it can. You know, you spill something on a white tablecloth or on the carpet or something, and you know, you may get the bulk of it out, but the stain remains. And you know, when we look in our hearts and see the sin there is there and the stains of it, the effects of it, do we not need to be clean every whit? It's a beautiful word, you know. There's so many precious words, isn't there, in God's precious truth, that are so suited, and the Holy Spirit will suit them to the poor sinner's heart. And think of that beautiful word, but ye are clean every whit. Not a spot, not a wrinkle, not a thing out of place. Washed completely and made white in the blood of the Lamb. And that will fill your poor soul with love to the dear Redeemer. Lead me then, to be led into his sacred ordinances. And think of the Lord's Supper. Led to sit at table with our Lord and eat celestial food. It's one thing I've never mourned and grieved over, and that is that the Lord constrained me in my early days. We often have to say with the hymn writer, don't we? Why was I made to hear his voice and enter while there's room, while thousands make a wretched choice and rather starve than come? T 'twas the same love that spread the feast, that sweetly forced us in, else we had still refused to taste and perished in our sin. Lead me. Oh, it's a vital word, isn't it? Lord, it's me. I need thee to lead me. He led me on fair Zion's road while weary, weak and faint. And may this be, if nothing this morning, the prayer the Lord puts in each of our hearts. Lead me, Lord. It's a fervent desire which the Holy Spirit will give every one of God's dear children. Lead me. Don't let me walk alone. Don't let me wander from thee. Lead me in thy truth. And that truth will be burnt in your poor heart, poor soul. You know, there's a lot of things that will be removed, isn't there? But the truth the Lord gives his dear children will be burnt in their hearts. It's like the old men used to with their tools, their spades, their things they used. They had the initials burnt in them. And to get rid of that, or somebody was to steal it, it had to be virtually destroyed to erase it. And you think of it in your soul, the truth burned in you. Nothing of Satan or the powers of evil can ever remove them. And that truth lives in the child of God. Oh, it does. Lead me in thy truth. And lead me, Lord, to value thy truth and to bless thy holy name for the truth as it is in Jesus. And you say in it all, and then I must leave it. But this precious truth is Christ. And he is made precious to sinners. Well could dear Peter say, unto you, therefore which believe, he is precious. And then you're about to sing what we sung just now. It's all to him. Where all the glory belong. Amen.